Welcome to My Medieval Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. I'm Marcel Losada, resident medieval scholar, and let's go. I've stumbled on these twice now, so maybe I'll just cut to Jan over here with me.
Jan, a lovable scamp and a appreciator of all things nerdy, and history is probably the biggest nerddom there is. So welcome. I hope we don't just talk about all the victims that Dracula had this time.
No, I'm pivoting a little bit. I'm not giving you any more Dracula, although I am not revisiting British literature.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to the Italians, Jan.
Oh, man. I'm a little hungry, so this is going to be tough for me. But
for one of them, it will be. Now I'm tempted to start with that one. But, there's a couple of things I want you to think about.
Okay. Hit me. My thinking cap is on.
And let's see how good your memory is. So let me give you a couple of primer questions before I hit you with some thoughts here. Do you remember the Decameron?
Of course, yes. That's the book. It's a collection of stories.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
It's incomplete. I remember that about the Decameron.
This one is complete.
Okay. The Decameron's complete. I remember that about the Decameron. Oh, yeah. That's about all I remember.
Hey, you know, that's pretty good. Yeah, absolutely. The work that this will influence, that the Decameron will influence, is incomplete, and that's Chaucer's Canterbury Tales.
Okay. I remember Chaucer, the homie, was involved with the Decameron in some capacity.
Yeah, he had a copy of it. Well, that's one of the few things that we know for sure. Yeah. Huh. So, you know, he did indeed enjoy the Decameron. Let's see here. Wikipedia says about the Decameron. Sometimes, by the way, this is kind of interesting. I think we might have talked about this last time, but it was also called La Umana Commedia, right? The Human Comedy. And it was Boccaccio that dubbed Dante Alighieri's comedy Divine. So he's the one that calls it the Divine Comedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, it is.
Boccaccio's like, that book? Divine. And it stuck, apparently. To give you a time frame, Boccaccio was living in 1313 to 1375. So early 14th century. He had a pretty good run, 62 years fun. Let's see.
But writing still is pretty rare at this point. It's starting. The Gutenberg Press has just come around.
Mm-hmm. So you've got printing. Yeah, it's still pretty. I mean, there's not many people who can read at this point.
Yeah,
this is
sure,
sure. We're not in the Renaissance by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure.
You know, do with that what you will. I am blanking on the Gutenberg Bible, the actual date.
So I thought it was the 1200s. Oh, if I get this even remotely right.
1215 was the Magna Carta. That's that famous one. Let's see here. The Gutenberg Bible printed in the 1450s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
however, there were printing presses before that.
Sure.
And let me give you a date on that one. Yeah, yeah.
Still not a lot of reading and writing from the general public.
Okay, so there was ways of sort of printing, but not the printing press, which is a Gutenberg invention in 1440.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there was handwriting. It looks like it's mostly handwriting. Or weird copies of handwriting.
What, they're like doing the, like, they're putting a bunch of, like, not silly string. What's that? Putty, silly putty. They're putting silly putty on paper and, like, getting extracts from it that way, or what?
Yeah, like caking it on thick and then trying to, you know, what do you call it, writing a whole page, it looks like carving a whole page. Would do it as a one shot, you know. It probably worked for like a poem maybe. And then he got the idea to do, I guess, movable type. And then he's like, why don't we move the letters? You know, that's pretty brainy. Let's see here.
But this is not a printed piece. This was handwritten.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Let's see here. Let me also tell you about it. Just to give you some framing here. It is a frame story containing 100 tales told by a group of 7 young women, 3 young men. They sheltered in a secluded villa just outside Florence in order to escape the Black Death, which is probably something that Boccaccio was familiar with. So inspired by real events. That's maybe why he wrote it.
So they're having a little pandemic staycation. Okay.
Very relatable for our generation.
Yeah, no shit.
The epidemic is likely what Boccaccio used for the basis of the book, which was thought to have been written between 48 and 53. The various tales of love in the Decameron range from the erotic to the tragic. Tales of wit, practical jokes, and life lessons also contribute to the mosaic. In addition to its literary value and widespread influence, for example, on Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, it provides a document of life at the time. Written in the vernacular of the Florentine language, which you will not hear here, it is considered a masterpiece of early Italian prose.
Okay, so basically it's a story written by pandemic staycationers that influenced a lot of people and gives us a good idea of what life was like for people rich enough to fuck out of society shit's going poorly.
Yeah, and though that's the frame story, you also get stories of people from different walks of life, right? So it's a story within a story. And in this case, it's 10 nights of 10 people telling each a story each time. So you get the personality of the speaker as well as the things that they're commenting on, you know? Sure. And so it builds this rich tapestry and cross-section of life, which of course the British later do with Chaucer, who's like, bet I can do that. And, you know.
And just make it more, British, succinct.
British, yeah. And he writes
a little drier.
You know, much later, like 100 and some years later. So let's go to, oh, sorry. He writes it about 50 years later.
Okay. Still, enough time has passed that you could call it, people wouldn't call it a remake or biting. They'd be like, no, it's a reimagining.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people would have seen it and been like, well done, you know. I think there was a remix culture back then where it's like, oh, is this the one story? Oh, but it's got crazy hooks to it.
I mean, that's technically what it seems like. Most of this is just 100%. The Bible again and again and again. But yeah.
Oh, we should do the passion plays. You're just reminding me. Those are fun. Some of them are just batshit crazy. And they used to be like, it's a description, but you can go see these too. So, you know, I'll try to.
Oh, people are still putting them on.
Oh, they are. Yeah. They're like these carts that depict different religious moments. And they were originally in charge in England, at least. And I'm sure this evolved from the Italian tradition, the guilds were responsible for them. And it was kind of like who's going to outdo whom, you know?
Okay.
And the townspeople would gather. And they would roll up these immense floats and perform this thing in different corner. And the crowds would gather and just get wasted. You know, everybody's drinking at these things and just watching. And some of them are quite interesting retellings.
I'm sorry. The second we brought in floats, I'm 1,000% down. There's nothing like floats, a parade.
And like, the guilds would compete. Like they would spend a ton of money just to outdo that fucker over there.
Of course.
And again, some of them are kind of like, man, this is not even religious. This is kind of sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious. You know? Like,
So, it's definitely meant to be seen. And like I said, some of these still exist. It's pretty interesting. It's kind of a mix of reverence and, it's funny, but then it'll make you feel bad. And then it's funny again, you know, like, pretty much what religion does, I guess. So the ones that we're doing right here, Jan, I'm not going to say too much else to warm us up. I'm just going to kind of dive into it. But let's see here. What I will tell you is these both occur on the fifth day or evening, and it is the eighth and ninth story, and they build on each other.
Okay.
And it is a theme of love. Okay.
All right.
Now I want to ask you, How do you feel about unrequited love?
I mean, it's hard to say because my unrequited feelings for my unrequited loves. No, I don't have a strong feeling one way or another on unrequited love. I rarely seek out that type of story, but you know, I'll enjoy a toe tapper from this genre.
Okay. So, when do you draw the line and just say, you know what, they're just not that into me. I got to move on.
I mean, I go pretty quick, cause I'm massively bored. So, and get bored all the time. So I'd say 2 to 3 days after I haven't gotten a text back, you are now out of my mind entirely. I'll say the day after, I'll really give that of like, huh, she's been leaving me on red. By day three, fuck, that's must have died. That's like best my mind can do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Again,
I like to think it's healthy. Yeah. I like to set healthy boundaries. Sure.
Yeah. There's going to be some names here, also. All right. We will, get on with it. Okay. So again, Decameron, the eighth story,
on the fifth night.
Yeah. To give you what this is based on. So the person telling this is Philomena, and ooh, her tale may originate from, it's kind of borrowed from this, Chronicle of Elinandus, I think. However, the tale was a widespread one. Boccaccio could have taken it from any number of sources or even oral tradition. So it's kind of a borrowed story, but banger in the time. So here we go. Okay. In his love for a young lady of the Travisari family, Nostagio degli Onesti squanders his wealth without
being... That is the most like Italian name. Yep. I thought Luigi Mangione was Italian, but that several different pasta dishes you just said in one like breath,
yep,
that might be the most Italian name I've ever heard. All right, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Nostagio. Yeah. He squanders his wealth without being loved in return. Okay. So he's spending all this money on this girl and he's getting nothing.
Which, right? Yep. I already
boy, have times have changed. Huh?
Yeah. I also have a feeling this is going to be a bit of a bummer tale.
Oh,
if we're opening with, I don't know, I bought dinner and she still ain't putting out. If it's opening with that, like, oof.
You're adding some layers there, but okay. Yeah, yeah. Let's see. He's entreated by his friends to leave the city and go away to class, where he sees a girl. This is a summary. So let me skip that. Sorry. But I've given you some, okay?
Okay.
So here's the tale. No sooner did Loretta fall silent, this is the person speaking before Philomena, than at the bidding of the queen, Philomena began as follows. So here it starts. This was a summary beforehand, but it's going to ruin the plot.
Okay, copy.
Yeah. Sure. Adorable ladies, just as our pity is commended, so is our cruelty severely punished by divine justice. And in order to prove this to you, as well as to give you an incentive for banishing all cruelty from your hearts, I should like to tell you a story as delightful as it is full of pathos.
Right. Pathos being, for those of us that don't know?
Oh, feeling.
Okay.
Yeah. So... let me go here. In Ravenna, which Ravenna is on the Adriatic coast, well known to Boccaccio, who stayed there many times between 1346 and 1361. Dante died there in 1321. And several features in the tale clearly come from the Divine Comedy. So, you know, it's a pretty famous place. A city of great antiquity in Romagna, there once used to live a great many nobles and men of property, among them a young man called Nostagio degli Onesti. Who had inherited an incredibly large fortune on the deaths of his father and one of his uncles.
Must be nice. All right.
Not so he looking...
got a So he's an heir. He's an heir to a fortune.
Yeah, yeah. He has it, right? He's a an heir. Being as yet unmarried, he fell in love, as is the way with young men, with a daughter of Messer Paolo Traversari, a girl of far more noble lineage than his own, whose love...
So she's even richer. Okay.
He's punching up. Yeah, totally. Whose love he hoped to win by dint of his accomplishments. But though these were very considerable and splendid and laudable, far from promoting his cause, they appeared to damage it, inasmuch as the girl he loved was persistently cruel, harsh, and unfriendly towards him. And on account, possibly of her singular beauty, or perhaps because of her exalted rank, she became so haughty and contemptuous of him that she positively loathed him and everything he stood for.
Okay, I mean, boy howdy, positively loathed, like all of that is, well, take a hint. I'm sure she's dropping them and move on from that business.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's definitely not a casual dislike being mentioned.
Yeah,
here, right.
Like, or that, you know, he burped in front of me once or something, you know, it is a, oh no, I loathe this person.
Right. Everything he stood for. You know,
yeah, I'm like, that's tough. I don't think there's any coming back from that, right? Like,
man. All of this was so difficult for Nostagio to bear that he was frequently seized after much weeping and gnashing of teeth with a longing to kill himself out of sheer despair. So a bit of a trigger warning there. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah, that. Sure. But still, what a drama queen.
Yeah. Says the guy who gives it 3 days. So, yeah. Which, out of the two, not too much healthier. Yeah. But having stayed his hand, he would then decide that he must give her up altogether, or learn, if possible, to hate her as she hated him.
Okay. So eye for an eye, romantically, yeah. Is that the bag?
Yeah, and by the way, the correct answer is give her up altogether. Go on with your life. You know,
Yeah.
She's take not in you, bro. Yeah, it's fine. There's plenty of women out there. You're rich, dude. You're gonna be okay.
Yeah, you're gonna be fine.
Yes, she is hot. Yes, she is noble.
So he's just super smitten, or so we're led to believe. It isn't. I'm trying to game this out. It's rather, he's just head over heels for this gal. Right.
No, yeah, she has it all, right? The princess of Ravenna, I guess. All such resolutions were unavailing. However, for the more his hopes dwindled, the greater his love seemed to grow. So maybe he's kind of into it. I don't know. As the young man persisted in wooing the girl and spending money like water, certain of his friends and relatives began to feel that he was in danger of exhausting both himself and his inheritance. They therefore implored and advised him to leave Ravenna and go to live for a while in some other place with the object of curtailing both his wooing and his spending.
Listen, dog, you just need to take a weekend. Go, you know, see what else is out there. Just listen, Vegas is nice this time of year. Just, no, don't worry about her. She'll be fine.
Nostagio rejected this advice as often as it was offered. But they eventually pressed him so hard that he could not refuse them any longer. And agreed
what
to do.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I think they took out their rapiers and were like,
held him down and just like, you know. I hope they gave him a good slap.
I don't think
we do a delirium slap enough these days.
Just hold him down and slap the shit out of him. And finally, he agreed to do as they suggested. Having mustered an enormous baggage train as though he were intending to go to France or Spain or some other remote part of the world, he mounted his horse, rode forth from Ravenna with several of his friends, and repaired to a place which is known as Classe, some 3 miles distant from the city. Having sent for a number, by the way, that's not very far.
No, but that's not very far for like people with cars and all that, I'm sure.
I don't know, man. Even
even by then, sure.
That's not that far. unless it's some crazy country, you know. Anyway, having sent for a number of tents and pavilions, he told his companions that this was where he intended to stay and that they could all go back to Ravenna. So Nastagio pitched his camp in this place and began to live in as fine and lordly a fashion as any man ever born, from time to time inviting various groups of friends to dine or breakfast with them, as had always been his custom. Maybe that's why he's not that far.
Yeah, right, because he's setting up a glamping spot.
Yeah,
that's probably on like some dope meadow, and he's just inviting friends on down. I can see, yeah, I can see it, right?
Yeah.
I will say when they were convincing him to go somewhere else, I thought it'd be a little more exotic than it's you could actually see it from here, you yeah, know, like totally. One of those places.
And it might be class A, but it's, you know, C-L-A-S-S-E.
Yeah. Okay.
Now it so happened that one Friday morning towards the beginning of May, the weather being very fine, Nastagio fell to thinking about his cruel mistress.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Keep yourself occupied.
Yep. He's given into the thoughts, He's getting into his
feelings. Pick up a hobby. Have you ever built a ship inside a bottle?
Yeah.
Right. Do something like that. Fuck.
Everything reminds me of her. having ordered his servants to leave him to his own devices so that he could meditate at great leisure, he sauntered off, lost in thought, and his steps led him straight into the pine woods. The fifth hour of the day was already spent, and he had advanced at least half a mile into the woods, oblivious of food and everything else.
I mean, I hate to say it, a half a mile's not, I'm with you. Like, that's not that, like, I'm pretty sure you could probably still shout at that point and probably hear someone.
All
right. So he left without snacks, and I don't think we should be that worried.
Yeah, you know, and to your point, my mile pace when I'm hiking is about 20-minute miles. So he walked for 10 minutes.
I just can't. It's not that far.
So oblivious of food and everything else, when suddenly he seemed to hear a woman giving vent to dreadful wailing and ear-splitting screams.
Okay. Goodness.
His pleasant reverie being thus interrupted, he raised his head to investigate the cause and discovered to his surprise that he was in the pine woods. Furthermore, on looking straight ahead, he caught sight of a naked woman, young and very beautiful.
Well, this is progressing. Okay, what? Well, these pine woods are cool.
I told you, Jan. We can, you know, you just can't have a normal story.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Let's go back to a naked woman, young and very beautiful, who was running through a dense thicket of shrubs and briars toward the very spot where he was standing.
So she's like running toward him.
Yep.
Okay. This went from kind of sexy to terrifying, in my opinion. But
and it's
all
a
right.
Thicket of shrubs and briars, which are very stabby, pointy things.
Yeah. So
you know?
She's just like moving through. Okay. Wild.
Yeah. And to say that, the woman's hair was disheveled. Her flesh was all torn by the briars and brambles, and she was sobbing and screaming for mercy.
Dang. So she's a victim in a horror movie. This is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, third act. She's just run. Something's about to come out of these woods. Something's about to come out at him. A dude in a mask with a chainsaw. What's the chainsaw of that day? Probably just an axe, right?
Yeah, or a scythe. That's pretty badass.
Ooh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Nor was this all.
Wait,
or,
what?
Nor was this all. So this was not it.
Yeah.
Okay. For a pair of big, fierce mastiffs were running at the girl's heels, one on either side.
Okay, so she's about to be eaten alive by dogs.
And every so often, they caught up with her and savaged her. Finally, bringing up the rear, he saw a swarthy-looking knight, his face contorted with anger, who was riding a jet black steed and brandishing a rapier, and who, in terms no less abusive than terrifying, was threatening to kill her.
So It's Jason Voorhees, right? That's it's the night version of Jason Voorhees. I mean, what a maniac. He's a fully straight up like night chasing a nude woman through the woods with his two attack dogs. Like, Jesus, my guy. Talk about overkill. Talk about
This spectacle struck both terror and amazement in Anastagio's breast, to say nothing of compassion for the hapless woman, a sentiment that in its turn engendered the desire to rescue her from such agony and save her life if this were possible. But on finding that he was unarmed, he hastily took up a branch of a tree to serve as a cudgel and prepared to ward off the dogs and do battle with the knight.
Sick. So good on him. He's picking up a stick. He's gonna go hit a dog and try to take on a higher leveled character than you are. Love it. Great.
Yeah. When the latter, meaning the knight here, saw what he was doing, he shouted to him from a distance, "Keep out of this, Nastagio. Leave me and the dogs to give this wicked sinner her desserts."
Wait, so the knight knows him?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
He had no, yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's like three and a half miles away.
From yeah. Two and a half now.
Yeah, yeah, either depends which back. Way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He had no sooner spoken than the dog seized the girl firmly by the haunches and brought her to a halt.
What's haunches exactly? Where
so haunches would be, you know, your buttocks to your thighs, like that.
Okay, that little area, sure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that sucks. That one.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yep. When the knight reached the spot, he dismounted from his horse, and Nastagio went up to him, saying, "I do not know who you are or how you come to know my name, but I can tell you that it is gross outrage for an armed knight to try and kill a naked woman and to set dogs upon her as though she were a savage beast. I shall do all in my power to defend her. Of that, you may be sure."
Yeah, I mean, agreed. That's a dick move.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereupon the knight said, "I was a fellow citizen of yours, Nastagio. My name was Guido degli Anastagi, and you were still a little child when I fell in love with this woman. I loved her far more deeply than you love that Traversari girl of yours, but her pride and cruelty led me to such a pass that one day I killed myself in sheer despair with this rapier that you see in my hand, and thus I am condemned to eternal punishment."
That's a lot, my guy. I mean, I'm just gonna let you know, you walked in with I was expecting a lot less than "I'm undead and cursed here." Yeah. Now, so your curse is to kill this person? Is it like all right, go on, because that's a weird punishment. Your hell is someone else being killed and eat my dogs? How is that your hell?
"My death pleased her beyond measure, but shortly thereafter, she too died. And because she had sinned by your cruelty and by gloating over my sufferings and was quite unrepentant, being convinced that she was more of a saint than a sinner, she too was condemned to the pains of hell."
I'm sorry. So your sin was like not telling people you don't sin that bad. Like, what was her sin again?
She had sinned by her cruelty and gloating over his sufferings. So, she was probably like, "Ah, he's so dead. Wait, who am I? He's dead.
I would be fucked in their world. Fucked." Okay, so she laughed at a person's misfortune. Yeah,
and it sounds like she, again, was more of a saint than she thought herself, more of a saint than a sinner. God's really fickle in these.
Sure. Yeah. Very fickle. Very.
"No sooner was she cast into hell than we were both given a special punishment, which consisted in her case of fleeing before me, and in my own of pursuing her as though she were my mortal enemy rather than the woman with whom I was once so deeply in love."
One of these punishments was worse than the other. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. One of them, real bad. The other, bad, but it seems a lot less being eaten to death by dogsy. You know, that's I'd rather be on the horse, just saying.
Yeah.
One time I'd rather be on the horse.
Every time I catch up with her, I kill her with this same rapier by which I took my own life. Then I slit her back open, and, as you will now observe for yourself, I tear... I tear from her body that hard, cold heart to which neither love nor pity could ever gain access. And together with the rest of her entrails, I cast it to these dogs to feed upon.
Okay, bud. Whoa. That's a lot of it's a lot of pent-up aggression, my guy. I think there's a therapist we should take this guy to, because oh boy. Okay. In my mind,
yes.
He was doing that as he was saying it.
I think that's
Wow, that's a very extreme thing he just did.
Within a short space of time, as ordained by the power and justice of God, she springs to her feet as though she had not been dead at all, and her agonizing flight begins all over again with the dogs and myself in pursuit. Every Friday at this hour, I overtake her in this part of the woods and slaughter her in the manner you're about to observe. But you must not imagine that we are idle for the rest of the week, because on the remaining days, I hunt her down in other places where she was cruel to me in thought and deed. As you can see for yourself, I am no longer her lover, but her enemy.
And the hell you say?
I couldn't see that. And in this guise, I am obliged to pursue her for the same number of years as the months of her cruelty towards me. So it seems like it has a timer.
Yeah, right? What
Isn't
a
weird.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Like it's a sentence. I always think about hell and the afterlife as a, you know, an eternity thing. But here
you got to wait this out, you know?
Yeah.
You got to relive this till you learn your fucking lesson. You know, which I can get more with, you know, if sure, that's what Alice, yeah, that you got to face your fears and be a better person to get out, you know. I also mean Satan is like a personal trainer, you know.
Yeah, kind of, right? Yeah. I would still say of this equation, she got the fucking short end of the stick.
Yeah, she's not doing so great.
This guy doesn't get eaten to death by dogs, right?
No, that doesn't happen. Not to him, yeah. And then stand aside, therefore, and let me carry out the judgment of God. Do not try to oppose what you cannot prevent. On hearing these words, Nastagio was shaken to the core. There was scarcely a single hair on his head that was not standing on end, and he stepped back to fix his gaze on the unfortunate girl, waiting in fear and trembling to see what the night would do to her.
He didn't just say it. And B, she hasn't had this happen like every week, it sounds. It sounds oddly specific to she like
every
runs
Friday
for 6 days and then gets murdered on, Wow. Wow. This is dark.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it's not lighter than Dracula. Kind of par for it. Well, yeah. I don't know. This one has, you'll see. The latter, having finished speaking, pounced like a mad dog, some pun intended, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Rapier in hand, upon the girl who was kneeling before him, held by the two mastiffs and screaming for mercy at the top of her voice. Applying all his strength, the knight plunged his rapier into the middle of her breast and out again at the other side, whereupon the girl fell on her face, still sobbing and screaming. Whilst the knight, right there,
Jesus.
Just laying it
yeah,
on
oof.
Whilst the knight, having laid hold of a dagger, slashed open her back, extracted her heart and everything else around it, and hurled it to the two mastiffs, who devoured it greedily on the instant.
So he keeps his dogs hungry too? Like, Jesus, my God.
Yes, yeah. They've been running for 6 days. But before very long, the girl rose suddenly to her feet, as though none of those things had happened, and sped off in the direction of the sea, being pursued by the dogs, who kept tearing away at her flesh as she ran. Remounting his horse and seizing his rapier, the knight too began to give chase, and within a short space of time, they were so far away that Nostalgia could no longer see them.
What a fucking weird thing to have witnessed for Nostalgia, just standing there, yeah, seeing all that, and then it just goes. That's what a mind fuck. That is, I'm sorry. This, I could still see my town. That's like fucking nuts. All right.
For some time after bearing witness to these events, Nostalgia stood rooted to the spot out of fear and compassion. But after a while, it occurred to him that since this scene was enacted every Friday, it ought to prove very useful to him.
Okay. We could collect hearts, you see. Oh, yes, we'll collect human hearts and form a collection. Oh, we'll sell them at the Grand Heart Bazaar. Like, what? How are you gonna? This isn't crypto. You're not gonna make a quick buck here. What?
So he marked the place and returned to his servants. And when the time seemed ripe, he sent for his friends and kinsfolk and said to them, "For some little time, you have been urging me to desist from wooing this hostile mistress of mine and place a curb on my extravagance, and I am willing to do so on condition that you obtain for me a single favor, which is this, that on Friday next, you arrange for Messer Paolo Traversari and his wife and daughter and all their womenfolk, together with any other lady you care to invite, to join me in this place for breakfast. My reason for wanting this will become apparent to you on the day itself."
Ominous, but so he's inviting the chick that hates him.
The whole family.
The whole family. Love it. Okay, great.
And all his friends. It's going to be like a giant party. He's like, y'all got to come to this party Friday morning. Next Friday morning.
But she hates everything about him.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
They thought this a very, I'm assuming this means his people, they thought this a very trifling commission for them to undertake and promised him they would do it. On their return to Ravenna, they invited all the people he had specified. And although they had a hard job when the time came in persuading Nostalgia's beloved to go, she nevertheless went there along with the others. Nostalgia saw to it that a magnificent banquet was prepared, and he had the tables placed beneath the pine trees in such a way as to surround the place where he had witnessed the massacre of the cruel lady. Moreover, in seating the ladies and gentlemen at table, he so arranged matters that the girl he loved sat directly facing the spot where the scene would be enacted.
Bro.
Yeah, do you see what's happening now?
Bro. You are about to make dinner theater,
yeah,
out of a fucked up hell scenario where you just invited all your homies and the chick you're into and her fucking family to watch a young woman get eaten by dogs. Okay.
The last course had already been served when they all began to hear the agonized yells of the fugitive girl.
Do you guys really? I love the leaner part of the foul. But what? Do you hear what's happening? Perhaps all of us should turn our attention to. Is that a young woman being chased by a man and some dogs?
Everyone was greatly astonished and wanted to know what it was, but nobody was able to say. So they all stood up to see if they could find out what was going on and caught sight of the wailing girl together with the knight and the dogs. And shortly thereafter, they came into the very midst of the company. Everyone began shouting and bawling at the dogs and the knight, and several people rushed forward to the girl's assistance. But the knight, by repeating to them the story he had related to Nostalgia, not only caused them to retreat, but filled them all with terror and amazement. And when he dealt with the girl in the same way as before, all the ladies present, many of whom being related either to the suffering girl or to the knight, still remembered his great love and the manner of his death, wept as plaintively as though what they had witnessed had been done to themselves.
I mean, Yeah, that's a real rough thing to see from someone you knew.
Yeah, I
And
know. That's like the
yeah,
extra
that's
twist. It's not
yep.
even something that happened 1,000 years ago or
Yeah, it's
something.
like,
It's like
oh,
one generation, you know,
yep.
like this happened last year, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mary's just not doing so hot, it seems like. Jesus, yeah.
She didn't move on. Yes. Yeah. When the spectacle was, and by the way, hell's real.
I know, right? Jesus.
When the
And
spec.
I guess it's these woods, I
Yeah.
guess.
What did the dogs do?
Exactly. What did the dogs and as much as I hate to say it, the horse, what did
Yeah,
they do to
but
get into
yeah.
this
It
whole
seems
situation?
unfair. Yeah. When the spectacle was at an end and the knight and the lady had gone, they all began to talk about what they had seen.
Don't you love a post-movie conversation? You know, I am just so tired of these predictable dog maulings that I really like it when they just randomly happen. When ghost dogs eat a ghost woman.
But none was stricken with so much terror as the cruel maiden loved by Nastagio, for she had heard and seen everything distinctly and realized that these matters had more to do with herself than with any of the other guests, in view of the harshness she had always displayed toward Nastagio. Consequently, she already had the sensation of fleeing before her enraged suitor, with the mastiffs tearing away at her haunches. So great was the fear engendered within her by this episode that, in order to avoid a similar fate, she converted her enmity into love. And seizing the earliest opportunity, which came to her that very evening, she privily sent a trusted maidservant to Nastagio, requesting him to be good enough to call upon her, as she was ready to do anything he desired.
No, girl, don't. He's a weirdo. He just intimidated you with fucking ghost murder. Don't. No. You get the fuck out of there. This guy didn't even he didn't even just wear her down, right? That would be one thing. Oh, I just kept sending her flowers till, you know. No. Doggy, like, hun, homie, he brought you to a place
To show
so
you a
that
hell
you
curse.
could watch a hell curse where dogs ate a woman. That is, listen,
In a insinuating way, right?
this is, if red flags were a dude, it's this dude. This guy is a big red flag.
Yeah, it's the insinuation. If you're a Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan,
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you saw that one, but the he likes to I forget the guy from You, the actor's name, but he takes his dates on a boat
Yep,
because of the insinuation that he can just knock them off,
knock him
right?
off, and it
No
leads
one
to
will
the
find
fear.
you. Yeah, totally. Okay, and so let's see. Nastagio was overjoyed and told her so in his reply, but added that if she had no objection, he preferred to combine his pleasure with the preservation of her good name by making her his lawful wedded wife.
Oh, what an honor.
Yep. Knowing that she alone was to blame for the fact that she and Nastagio were not already married, the girl readily sent him her consent. So she's self-blaming. That's good. And
Yeah.
so, acting as her own intermediary, she announced to her father and mother, to their enormous satisfaction, that she would be pleased to become Nastagio's wife. Probably because they get to not see their daughter go to hell, I guess,
I
you know.
guess, yeah,
I don't
sure.
know. On the following Sunday, Nastagio married her, and after celebrating their nuptials, they settled down to a long and happy life together. Their
I doubt that. I sincerely doubt that even a little.
That's what the text says, Jan.
Sure, but I think there's a liar in the group.
Their marriage was by no means the only good effect to be produced by this horrible apparition. For from that day forth, the ladies of Ravenna in general were so frightened by it that they became much more tractable to men's pleasures than they had ever been in
Wow.
the
Wow.
past.
What a purely chauvinistic sentence.
Yeah.
Just every aspect of that sentence was like just complete. talk about that is the antithesis of the Bechdel test, right? Is that sentence.
Yeah, unless, and here's the other way that you could take this is it's very tongue in cheek, you know, like it's meant, the horrors are extended to add to, you know, what a comedy this is, right? It's a dark comedy,
yeah,
but
sure,
you can read
comedy.
This as a comedy, you know,
sure.
Like,
you know, I'm laughing, person, yeah. I'm yucking it up. Oh yeah, listen. You know what I really think most comedies these days lack? It's an innocent woman being eaten to death by dogs.
Repeatedly, yeah.
And a weird fucked up store or a dinner that you're taken to in the woods where you have to watch it.
But it's funny in that, like,
tell me all about
German, yeah, the old German, like, you know, Hansel and Gretel, you know, they get eaten, and you're like, ah, stupid children, So, I don't, you know, and that they're all scared into, you know, marrying and having sex, like, I don't know, there's a comedy there,
just hilarious.
It would have been funny, I think, at the time.
At the time, sure, yeah.
Well, that's funny to me.
We're laughing, just probably for reasons they didn't expect.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But kind of crazy one, right, Jan? Do you like that one?
I mean, it's nuts, and it also just shows you how relationships haven't changed. Showing you how, that people were committing suicide over loneliness and love, that relationships were still just as hard back in an era when you could just trick people into witnessing a ghost mauling. And that's interesting to know that dating has remained so interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely contained its intricacies, right? All right, so I was gonna continue because there is the next story here, and this is gonna be a bit of a cliffhanger, I think, is from the Decameron as well, and it follows immediately on this, and it is, we just heard from Philomena, we're gonna hear from Fiametta.
Okay.
Next time. Yeah.
Okay.
They're Italian, so all their names
for sure. And it's, I guess I'm used to, like, I don't know, slightly less Italian sounding Italian names, whereas all of these, every single one of them is like, that is a pizza place in some town somewhere. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Domenica. Here's one of the names that you get in this next one. Coppo di Borghesi Domenici.
I love their Alfredo. It's just perfect. So good.
Absolutely. And we'll be in the town of, Florence, and looks like maybe Campi next time. So
okay,
none of this means anything to you.
Yeah, sure.
Florence, yeah. I think you've been there.
Been to Florence. Oh, yeah. We got family over there.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, with that, Jam, anything you took away from this?
That I have not been on the worst date I've ever heard of. Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
That I'm doing better than our homeboy who still got married. Like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. No, everything works out for him.
For him. Yep.
Everything. Yeah. My takeaway is you should always hike in the woods and use supernatural events to empower you in your life. You
know? And get results, get things you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he saw that. And to your point, you know, that would have blown my mind. And I would have had to go home and think about things for a long time. He immediately was like, I got it. I can use this.
All I could think was he was going to try to break the curse. Because, you silly man. That's a standard thing you do with a thing like that is try to break them. But no, quite the opposite. Yeah. How can I profit from this?
Yeah, I mean, that just takes a special person.
Special person.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.